Discuss the requirements of Mefulash, and we were looking at pictures of the map of Chicago. So I just want to clarify a couple points, both of the geographic and halachic nature, to correct the record from what we said last time. Number one, we were working with the assumption last time that Howard Street in Chicago is Mefulash Mishar Lashar for 10 miles, way out of the city limits. So that's actually not the case. I looked more closely at Google Maps and discovered that computers I don't have, you can take a look yourself if you're interested, that at some point relatively far west of where the Eruv runs, there is a major north-south highway, and right before that north-south highway, this street curves almost 90 degrees north alongside the highway, and it continues on the other side of the highway with the same name. So unless you're looking very carefully at the map, you wouldn't notice that the street actually stops and then continues again with the same name on the other side of the highway, but it's not Mefulash at that point. The more critical, so that solves the Howard Street problem for Chicago, and we can be happy with the status of Chicago Eruv. But more importantly, a lucky point, speaking to Rosh Hefter again, I clarified the following, which I think I misrepresented last time. Rosh Hefter thinks, which is probably the more intuitive approach, that when calculating Mishar Lashar for purposes of Mefulash, we're not looking at municipal boundaries, but we're looking at contiguous settlements. So whatever the standard would be when it comes to Hilchos Tchumen for defining a city, that would be true for defining what is considered Mefulash Mishar Lashar. So even if you have multiple municipal boundaries that begin and end, and one street traverses multiple cities, but there's continuous settlements such that as far as Tchum Shabbos is concerned, you could continue walking straight, then that is all part of the same halachic city for purposes of Mefulash, and if the street ends somewhere before the end of that contiguous settlement, then it would not be considered Mefulash Mishar Lishar. So going back to Chicago, at this point where the north-south highway runs, I think it's called the Eden Expressway, that actually may end the Tchum, or may end the city for Tchum purposes, rather. So I was talking to Rosh Hefter, he gave me a kuntres that someone wrote about Tchumen in the Chicago area, and the Mechaber of this kuntres points out that that Eden Expressway is wider than 141 plus Amos, the entire north-south leg throughout the entire city in that area. So that's my focus among contemporary poskim, whether a highway breaks up the city for Tchum purposes, which is nowhere near our topic, but theoretically, one could argue that the city limits end over there for purposes of Tchumen, and then if the road actually ended at the highway, maybe that would be considered Mefulash Mishar Lashar, but lamaisa the road seems to turn fully north, that may not be considered Mefulash at that point. Okay, so that is just to correct the record. Now we're moving on to the topic of Bailus HaRabim, Bailus HaYakid, which emerges both from the Gemara and Daf Kaf Beis, and possibly from a Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes. The Mishnah tells us on Daf Nun Tes, I'm an Aleph and Erevin, if you have a Gemara in front of you. Ir shel Yachid v'naseis shel Rabim. If you have a, we'll just translate it loosely for now, as a private city that becomes a public city, ma'arvin es kula. You are allowed to be ma'arid. Ma'arid means to allow for carrying through a sheet of mevoos or Erev Chatzeros as is relevant. So you can be ma'arev the entire city. V'shel rabim v'naseis shel yachid ein ma'arvin es kula. However, if you have a public city that became a private city, you're not allowed to have a single sheet of mevoos that's going to cover the entire city. Elim kein also chutzalak yerchadash shabihuda sheyesh b'chamishim diyurin de rebihuda. And Rishimon has a different shear. Unless you carve out a certain area which is going to be excluded from the communal sheet of. Okay, so the details of that are not really our concern now. What is the definition of Ir Shel Yachid versus Ir Shel Rabim? So if you look at Rashi here on the Mishnah, Rashi writes, Ir Shel Yachid, Shelo hayu nifnasin batamid shishim ribo shel b'nei adam. Ir Shel Yachid means a city in which you don't have constant traffic of 600,000 people. Velo chashiva rishis harabim, delo dam yaladigle midbar. So a city that is lacking traffic of 600,000 people is not considered a Rishis HaRabim because it is not Dumya de Digle Midbar. So this is Shitas Rashi, that you require Shishim Ribo in order to define an area as a Rishos HaRabim. V'naseh Shel Rabim, Shenitos V'bad D'Yurin, more residents were added to the city, so now it started out below the 600,000 threshold, and now it's at the 600,000 threshold. O Nikbu B'Shvakim, or there were more marketplaces added, so maybe that means like a platya. So that created a new status of Ir Shel Rabim. Okay. However, the opposite, if you have an Ir Shel Rabim that became Shel Yachid, there's a restriction on your ability to be Ma'ariv everything together, Rashi explains. Dilma Hadra Umis Abda Shel Rabim, maybe this city is going to go back to an Ir Shel Rabim. The Asu La'aruva Kula, and then you will continue to be Ma'ariv the entire city. The Asu La'aruv Ir Shel Rabim Beloshir. Okay. The Rashi defines Ir Shel Yachid as a city that lacks 600,000 people, and Ir Shel Rabim is a city that has 600,000 people. Tosos agrees to Rashi's definition here. Tosos Dira Maspil Ir Shel Yachid. Tosa, of course, Rashi writes, Vadinimo, Devade Masnisim lo Ayri Rishis Harabim Gemurah. This is a deeper Maskul Ir Shel Yachid, the third line in. So Rashi must be correct that we're not talking about, Rashi must be correct that the definition of Ir Shel Yachid versus Ir Shel Rabim is a function of the population. Devade Masnisim lo Ayri Rishis Harabim Gemurah. So we're not talking about, the issue is not the definition of Rishis HaRabim as far as the other criterion of Rishis HaRabim. V'delokasani Rishis HaRabim Overes B'socha. So it sounds like Tosa is saying, we're not talking about something that became a Sratya. Then the Mishnah should have said something like Rishis HaRabim Overes B'socha. But not necessarily Tessayin Am, and Tosa discusses Rishis HaRabim HaMaskatzer. But for our purposes, Tosus agrees that the definition of Ir Shel Yachid versus Ir Shel Rabim is a function of Shishim Riba. Okay. However, the Chachmei Sfar generally argue on Rashi and Tosus here. If you look, for example, in the Ramban has a lengthy piece on Daf Nun Tes, some of which we cited previously. So Ramban has numerous kashas on Rashi's sheet of Shishim Riba, which we'll discuss in due time when we talk about Shishim Riba, which hopefully will begin a little bit later today. But the Ramban writes, what is the definition of Ir Shel Yachid? This is the paragraph beginning, Achshav Ani Chozer, L'Perish HaMishnah. Ir Shel Yachid means, Shehaisa Kol HaIr Mitchila Shel Adam Echad, that the entire city belonged to one individual. V'Achshav Naaseh Shel Rabim, and now that singular ownership, the unique ownership, was somewhat relinquished. Umitchila kishahaisa shel yachid v'hu abeis adarim b'socha. So initially, when it belonged to one individual, and he and his household were living inside the city, ein bo rishis harabim l'olam, then it can have the status of rishis harabim. So even if you have large numbers of people that come into the city to do business, and in theory, even if you have roads in the city that are tesayinama, and you have this, and or you have a road in the city that's mefulish mishar lishar belishim mikum kwal, you can have all the other trappings of Rishis HaRabim, but if bottom line it is owned by one person, and there's no public rights to the city, even though they welcome the public to visit, that is considered an Ir Shel Yachid. Kevin Shah Rishus Kula Shel Yachid, Umitok Rishuso Hein Ban Lesocha, Rishus HaYachid Hi, V'ein Chayavin Alav B'Shabbos. So that cannot be defined as a Rishus HaRabim if it is all the property of an individual. How do we know that? The Ramban says, we know that from the Gemara and Daf Kaf Beis Amin Beis. Gemara that we referenced earlier also in a different context. The Gemara talks about certain areas of Eretz Yisrael that Yeshua was and wasn't Moser to the Rabbim. Right, the Gemara says that areas in Eretz Yisrael that were Nicha Tashmishte Masra L'Rabbim, areas in Eretz Yisrael that were of utility, Yeshua gave over to the Rabbim, but there are areas in Eretz Yisrael that were Lo Nicha Tashmishte that were not given over to the Rabbim. So that's the model, that something which is privately owned is not considered, may not be considered a Rishus Hayachid. So that, then the Rabban writes, Alma, Kol Rishus Yu Kanu Liyachid, any area that is owned by an individual, Ein Chayav and Olam Mishum Rishus HaRabim, Afa Pisha Rabim Over Mizocha, even though people do travel through that city. My time Rishus HaRabim Kishma Shehi Shel Rabim. Rishus HaRabim means the Rishus of the Rabim, and if the Rabim have no bailus or rights to the city, it's owned by an individual, it can't be called a Rishus HaRabim. Yeah.
I was a bit confused by that proof, because does that proof make it more sound like if something's not owned by the Rabbim, it can't be Rishus HaRabim? Not if a Yachid owns it, then it is not, can't be Rishus HaRabim? I mean, why would it be a place that has no ownership whatsoever?
Hefker, the Midbar. Yeah. Right? So that's the Gemara and Davav that distinguishes between Bidman Shei Yisrael, War Bidmidbar, Bidman Shei Yisrael, and Abba Midbar, and when Bidmidbar were not in the Midbar, then it has the status of a Carmelist.
Right, so I guess the Rambam is reading that Gemara in Chafdeis as Yeshua kept it for a Yachid still? Because it can't be Hefker.
So that which was not Masum L'Rabim, that may still be a Carmelist. It's not, Min HaTorah, it's Rishus HaYachid. Min HaTorah, or Makom Ptur. I mean, that which was not Nimsa L'Rabim, maybe a Makom Ptur Min HaTorah, maybe a Carmelist Midrabanan. It's not definitionally, in order to be Rishus HaYachid, it would have to have the requisite mechitzas and make a Rishus HaYachid. What we're talking about here is an ear shel rabim or shel yachid. So you have a city, let's say a city that's mukha mechitzas, a walled city, right? So it could be a, if it's not a Rishus HaRabim, then it may be Rishus HaYachid, it may be a Carmelist. So the ear shel yachid, if it's a Rishus HaYachid, it's going to be Rishus HaYachid because of mechitzas.
Right. So not necessarily because of the owner.
It can't be Rishus HaRabim because of the ownership.
Okay.
That's, yeah. The Rabban's emphasis is that if something is privately owned, it cannot be Rishus HaRabim.
Right. Okay.
But the may still be Carmelist depending on. I'm sorry?
The same should be true also for non-ownership, but maybe to a lesser degree.
Okay. Michael?
You just said I was going to say.
Good. Okay. So we can switch places. That's the Ramban's analysis of Ir Shel Yachid. Ir Shel Yachid is a privately owned city, a city with a single director or directors, and lack of public input, if you will. The Ramban's formulation was that it's Hu Ubeis Adarim Besocha, that a city that originally was dwelled in by this individual and the members of his household. The Ritva, I don't think it's necessarily significant, the Ritva has a formulation of this owner renting out some of the houses and collecting taxes or collecting rent, but the point is the same, that it's essentially a Yachid that has bailus over the city. Then the Ritva has a discussion, what happens if you sell the city but retain certain rights, you still collect taxes. Okay. And the Rambam as well is within this camp of defining Ir Shel Yachid. The Rambam in Perek Hey, Halacha Yotes of Erevin, defines Ir Shel Yachid as, the way he presents this Mishnah is Medina, Im Haisa HaMedina Kinyan Yachid. That if the Medina, the city, the area, was privately owned. Okay, so this halacha does appear in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Sadi Beis. The Mechaber writes, Ir Shahaisa Kinyan Yachid, Afila Nases Sharabim, Mishtatim Kulam Shitav Echad. So Ir, which was a Kinyan Yachid, that's a Raman's formulation. So Mechaber presents this Mishnah through the formulation of the Rambam, a privately owned city. Even if it becomes Sharabim, Mishtatim Kulam Shitav Echad. So every member of the city can participate in the same Shitav Mavoos, and that creates a Heter Tilto. However, Ir Sharabim, that was Nasir Shoyachid, Eim Arvin Eskula, you have to leave a certain area that is not part of the common Shitav Mavoos. Fine. So the Magen Avraham, in a brief statement here in Sifkatan Beis, raises the question, why is it that we don't seem to ever apply this halacha? And it seems that if you have an Ir Sharabim, a publicly owned city, regular conventional city, there's a din that you need to exclude a certain part of the city from the general sheet of Mavoos. So that's not something that we generally see done. So Magen Avraham writes, Sifkat and Beis, and maybe we assume like Rashi, the common practice assumes like Rashi, that the definition of an Ir Shel Rabim is a city of 600,000. We don't have cities of 600,000, so this halacha is not relevant. And we'll see in a few moments the Magen Avraham himself holds that the Ikar Deya in this machlokes about Shishimibo is that you do require Shishimibo for Shizarab. Okay, so that's what Magen Avraham suggested. Maybe the reason we don't see people do this is we don't have cities that have Shishimibo. So we don't have a real Rosh Hashanah, and we don't have an Ir Shel Rabim. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, so the Aruch HaShulchan first makes the following point, that nowadays, according to the definition of the Rambam, the Ramban Adimei, we don't really have an Ir, never have an Ir Shel Yachid. So we don't have a notion of privately owned cities in late 19th century Europe. But then he writes that he thinks the Iker reason, he has some other suggestions, but he thinks the Iker reason that this halacha not really lemaisa is that the whole concern of leaving a shear in an Ir Shel Rabim, of leaving an area that isn't part of the Shitav Mavoos, is that if you have a walled city, so if you're living in a walled city, you're already mukaf mechitzos. So, essentially, that city is a Rosh Hashayachid in the sense that it's mukaf mechitzos. And then the only thing that you need to create a Heter Tiltel is a sheet of Mavoos, a Yochaseiros sheet of Mavoos. That's going to be true if you have a walled city. So, as far as the Rices are concerned, there's nothing to worry about because it's all mukaf mechitzos. And the only concern is making a sheet of Mavoos. So if you're going to have an Ir Shel Rabim and you're going to create a sheet of Mavoos that's going to link all the residents of the city, so people may get confused and think that there's really no restriction on Tiltel. He writes as follows. Zeshet Rikhu Chachamim Shir Zeb Arim Shalahem. That was talking about the cities of old. Sheyim Lukafas Kama Saviv Ha'ir. Below Nefzar Sham Raka Eruv. So you have Mechitzas anyway. The only thing you need is Eruv Chatzeruv, so Shitim Mavoos. Ubezeh Tzarech Shir Leheker. So there, you need a heker, because otherwise, you're going to think you never need any tikkun. Aval Barim Shalanu, Sheyim Lukafas Kama, but our cities are done of walls. And the only reason that you're allowed to carry on Shabbos is because you create a colloquial Erev of Siras HaPesach. And everyone knows that if the Erev is down, if one of the Siras HaPesach gets destroyed, you're not allowed to carry. So everyone understands that the reason that you're allowed to carry is because it's Surah Pesach, and the significance of the Erev Chatzeros is somewhat lessened. So you don't need that same kind of a hecker to remind you that there are restrictions on your ability to carry on Shabbos. That's the Erev Chatzeros analysis to take a look in Se'if Beis. Rav Shechter points out that even if you assume, like Rashi and Tosfos in the definition of Irshal Yachid and Irshal Rabim, that Irshal Yachid, Irshal Rabim is a function of Shisha Ribo and has nothing to do with private ownership versus public ownership, but you do see from the Gemara Daf Kaf Beis the notion of Misarul Rabim, that if something is privately owned, then it's not going to be defined. It can't be defined as a Rishus HaRabim. So whatever stand you take in that machlokas and Daf Nun Tes, there still may be a notion of private ownership excluding an area from being a Rishus HaRabim. So when Rav Shechter says this, he always says that the square in Rockefeller Center is owned by, used to be owned, maybe still owned, by the Rockefeller family. And even though it is open to the public and maybe could be theoretically part of the Rishis HaRabim of the city, if the city is the Rishis HaRabim, but because it's privately owned, that can't be called the Rishis HaRabim. So even if you have 600,000 people skating on the ice skating rink, it can't be the Rishis HaRabim because it's privately owned. What we were looking at last time, the map of the Lower East Side, and that little alleyway called Broom Street. So Broom Street, Rabbi Ram tells me, is privately owned. It's owned by the management. It's owned by the whoever owns those co-op buildings on either side, and it's not owned by the city. So that also would have a din, could not have a din of a Rishus HaRabim. So even if you hold, like Ramosha, that all the intersecting streets in the entire Manhattan could have a status of a Rishus HaRabim, but that, because it's privately owned, is not going to be, can't be a Rishus HaRabim, which is why they have so it's a path for allowing and carrying in that alleyway. Yeah.
Would that be the deal with gated communities, suburbs?
Could be. Depending on what the regulations are. May be different because the city may have more rights there. The city may still have the right to close off traffic or to direct things going on in the streets. So that might not be the same. But probably depend on what the municipal laws, regulations are. Avi?
That's where the shopping applies from Rakhapay's extent to Israel. If you have an interstate highway that's privately owned, there's some poems in Illinois like that. Owned by corporations.
But I assume everyone has it.
It's still owned by...
Theoretically, they can decide to close it one day and they'd have no responsibility to anyone. So I think that when Rav Shechter distinguishes between what criterion or what elements of the definition of Shisarab apply to Srat, Derech HaLechvi earlier and what don't, I think Bailus HaYachid is in the second category, like Tesayinam and Makura, that if it is owned by a private individual, then it would not have a din of Rishus HaRabim. So I haven't been to Iowa recently. I can't speak to that. Okay. Good. so now we're going on to discuss Shish and Rebo. So as we just noticed, on Daf Nun Tes, Rashi and Tosfos, there's a major machlokas we've shown him as to whether, in order to define an area as Rishus HaRabim, it needs to have Shishim Ribo. So Rashi and Tosos there on Daf Nun Tes in Erevin, Rashi and Tosos on Daf Vav in Erevin, Rashi and Tosos on Daf Vav in Shabbos. Those are the Baalei Hashita that a Rishus HaRabim must have Shishim Ribo. And the Rambam in the beginning of Perek Yudalet of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam Perek Yudalet of Shabbos, the Ramban that we just read in Daf Nun Tes, and other Rishonim hold that there is no such requirement of Shishim Ribo. As the Ramban says, it doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. Mechatesi, that element of Dumi Tedigli Midbar is in fact operative. What's the source? And other kashas as well. So what we'll have to discuss are, number one, if there is a requirement of Shishimibo, how do you calculate Shishimibo? Who counts as some of the Shishimibo? Do you need Shishimibo in any given street? Is it sufficient to have Shishimibo in the entire city? Do you need Shishimibo on a daily basis? Is it sufficient to have Shishimibo on an occasional basis? So again, who counts for Shishimibo? Where does the Shishimibo have to be situated? And how frequently must the Shishimibo be found? But before we discuss those issues, we'll just discuss, broadly speaking, what is this Machlokas Rishonim, and how do we assume the Halacha? So as you know, the Mechaber in Simen Shin Mem Hei Seif Zayin quotes this opinion as a Yesh Omer. After providing the other criterion of Rishis HaRabim that we've analyzed until this point, the Mechaber writes, V'yesh omrim, shekol she'ein shishim ribo ovrim bo, v'chol yom, eino Rishis HaRabim. V'yesh omrim, that any area, any city, any area that otherwise would be defined as Rishis HaRabim, where you don't have shishim ribo passing through, v'chol yom, this is Lashon, eino Rishis HaRabim. So we know that, generally speaking, in Klalei HaPsak of Shulchan Aruch, the general klal is that Stam V'yesh Omrim Halacha Ke Stam. Usually we assume that if the Mechaber presents two dayos, one day is presented without any introduction, and the second day is presented as a Yesh Omrim, the Mechaber means the Paskin like the Stam, like the first opinion. That's what the Mishnah Berurah points out here in Seif Katan Kaf Gimel. Well, inyan halacha midas hamechaber the kas of deyazu rach b'shem yesh omrim mashma de la halacha los vilekein. The fact that mechaber closely says yesh omrim implies that he doesn't hold of it la halacha. Then the Mishnah Berurah says bikal makom ein banu koach limchos biad hasomchem al deyazu. But you can't protest against those who rely on this opinion. Today is Ugamkein, lo dasichidahi. That's not an isolated opinion. Kamosha kasati bebeir locha, be arichas.
Why does the Shulchan Aruch, I mean, I guess it's not a broader question.
Why does he quote as a Yeshomer?
Yeah.
I mean, or he could be asked more generally, why quote a Yeshomer if he passed it? Not why.
Right. Yeah,
it's a kind of like a Mishnah Adios question. With the Yehuda.
Yeah, so in general, it could be that you quote a second opinion because B'Shas HaTchak you rely on the second opinion, and that is acceptable under certain circumstances. If you have a Machlokas Rishonim and there is significance to the minority opinion, so you may say that under certain circumstances you rely on that. That's what the Rambah writes in his introduction to the Taras Chatas, quoting from the Mari Mintz, which the Shach references a few places in Yerodeya, that in terms of Derech HaPsak, you can, under certain circumstances, rely on a minority opinion if it's b'makom Hesem Ruba, or an Ani is like a Hesem Ruba, so under certain circumstances, the reason the Ramah will quote a minority opinion is because there are times where that could be relied on, even though in a lichachila situation, absent other factors, you should go with the more machmir position. That has nothing to do with us specifically, that's a general comment. Okay. So that's what Mishnah Berurah writes, that it sounds like Stam Yesh Omrim Halacha Kistam, and it sounds like that is the intent of the Mechaber. And if you look in the Be'er Halacha here, the Mishnah Berurah quotes various rayas that he thinks supports this position, various other Mar Makomos in the Mechaber and Hilchos Shabbos, where he thinks the Mechaber intends to paskin that you don't need Shishim Riba to make her Shis HaRabim. So for example, the Halacha that we just mentioned a few minutes ago in Simen Shin Sadi Beis, the fact that the Mechaber there defines Ir Shel Yachid as a privately owned city, as opposed to a city lacking Shishim Ribo, the Mishnah Berurah thinks that may indicate that the Mechaber fundamentally holds, like the Rambam against Rashi, because that machlokes in Irsha Yochid is lishitasam about whether you need shishim riba b'chlal for Irsha Sarabim. So the fact that the Bechaber only quotes the Lashon Rambam there and doesn't quote the definition of Irsha Yochid is less than shishim riba z'yesh omrim, and maybe that's an indication that the Bechaber fundamentally does not require shishim riba. You can take a look at the other rayas that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. However, if you look in the Taz in Sivkatan Vav, the Magen Avraham in Sivkatan Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah references them. So the Taz and the Magen Avraham both point out that our minog, and clearly the Mishnah Berurah doesn't disagree, that the overwhelming minog in Europe was to rely on the shitas of Rashi Udi'imei, that you require Shisha Rebo to make an Erev, and that was the basis for the construction of most Erevin in Europe over the centuries. So the Taz points out, for example, the Ramah that we mentioned a few times in the past in different places, the Ramah has lines that we don't have a Shisharam is Manazah. So seems to indicate that the Ramah's assumption is that absent Shisha Rebo, we don't have a Shisharam. We discussed Bishaito, Raya Zakan Al-Khan about the Ramah and the Raya from Tchumen and Sibin Tav Beis. We won't go back to that now. And the Magen Avraham points out in Sivkatan Vav, you have a similar mashmos, he thinks, in the Mechaber and Simen Shin Gimel. Does anyone have a Chelek Gimel in the Shavur here? Okay. And I'll pull it up. So the Mechaber there in Simen Shin Gimel, Si'if Yud Ches, in discussing the permissibility of wearing certain takshitin that are not considered acceptable forms of dress in a rishis harabim. So the Mechaber writes, "Kol she'asu chachamim laseis b'lishus harabim, asu laseis b'lachatzer she'en merabba." So whatever you're not allowed to wear in lishus harabim, you're not allowed to wear in a chatzer that didn't have a proper eruv chatzeros. And then he writes, "Va'ina nashi dida nagu laseis b'chal tachshitin." Nowadays, the practice is for women to wear all sorts of jewelry in a chatzer, even a chatzer she'ena me'ureves. Some say mutav she'yishog again. And then he writes, v'hashta the left line, rishis harabim gomor, havalei kol rishis harabim shelanu karbalis. Nowadays, we don't have a real rishis harabim. So every rishis harabim is a pseudo rishis harabim as a din of a karbalis, and that's like a chatzer she'ena me'ureves, and it's mutav. The whole concern of wearing these things in a chatzer she'ena me'ureves is only where you have a rishis harabim. So we're worried that if we allow you to wear the tachshitin and a chatzer she'ena me'ureves, you may come to wear them in a rishis harabim. But if there is no rishis harabim, then the concern doesn't exist. So the Magen Avraham means to say that doesn't that mechaber sound like fundamentally you need shishim ribo to create a rishis harabim, and that's why nowadays in the mechaber's time, there is no rishis harabim because there are no cities with shishim ribo. Yep, that's the Magen Avraham's raya. If you look in the Sharitzion here, Sivkat and Kaf Beis, he's not so convinced. He says, even though the Magen Avraham attempts to prove for the Mechaber and Sivin Shin Gimel that you need Shishim Rebo, and that's why there's no Shisharabim is Manazem. No, the Mechaber is just quoting the Lashon of the Sefer Trumos, Sefer Truma. He's not saying that Lalacha. That's just part of the citation of the Sefer HaTrumah, which was a limud zchus for women who were knowing to wear tachshitin and a chatzer she'ena me'ureves, but that's not necessarily the position of the Mechaber himself. And Rav Avadya quotes Yabia Omer Chelek Tes Simin Lamid Gimel. Rabbi Omer Chela Tes Simin Lamid Gimel. He quotes a Chida, who also attempts to explain how the Mechaber in Simin Shin Gimel doesn't really mean to say that there's no Rishus Rama Zman Azeh. It's in the context of a citation, a Limud Klos, but not fundamentally reflective of his position. Right, meaning he's attempting to say that, like the Mishabura is saying, and that is what the Mishabura is saying, that no, fundamentally the Mechaber means the Paskin, that even without Shishim Riba you could have a Rishus HaRab. And then you have to get out of Shin Gimel. Bottom line, anyway you slice it, there are contrary indications in different Psakim in the Shulchan Aruch, so you have to get out of something. You just have to pick what you're going to try to get out of. So bottom line, the Taz and the Magen Avraham both assume that the Iker Deya is like the Siyesh Omrim. The Taz writes, Tamachmir Yachmir Lasma, if you want to be Machmir on yourself, that's your problem, but don't impose your Chumros on others. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes as well. Here, Sif Yud Zayin and Sif Yud Ches. He writes, Hine, Mefarshi HaShulchan Aruch Kosvu, Derov HaPosim Sovim Kishit Azil. So the Taz, the Magen Avraham, the heavy hitters all right, that Rov Poskim assume that you require Shishim Rivo. Hamnan, Echad, Me'agdolim B'dor Shilafaneinu, Hira Sha'ola Mala Irvin Shalanu. That one of the Gedolim in the previous generation, meaning the Mishkanos Yaakov, Yaakov Karliner, the Talmud of Reb Chaim V'Lajner, so in Tshuvas Mishkanos Yaakov, beginning in Simon Kuf Kaf and Kuf Kaf Aleph and Kuf Kaf Beis, he has that Arichus attempting to prove that the common practice is Shalok Halacha, among other things. You don't require Shishim Ribo and other Pikpukim with the common practice in Erevin. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's true that one of the Gedolim in the previous generation tried to shake the world up about her Erevin, the Haribah Aliyel Sha'osim Heim Harbe Yosim Heim Akilim. And he tries to stack the deck and show that if you look at all the Shitas HaRishonim, the majority of Rishonim assume that you don't need Shishim Ribo. Ach Mefarsh HaShulchan Aruch Lo Ra'um Kilo Nifasubim Heim Akilim. And the reason that no one, Mishkan HaSiakos says, the reason that the consensus was otherwise is because not everyone had access to all these Rishonim. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I'm skipping, Mamol Harichos, what good is all the Harichos of Mishkanos Yaakov? Hareisha Erevin is Pashtu Barov HaYisrael Harbe Meos Shanim Mikodim. Bottom line, for hundreds of years before the Mishkanos Yaakov, the Jews in Europe were making Erevin. For Rak Al Smach Hetzer Zeh, based on the fact that they didn't have Shishim Ribo. Ukeilu Baskol Yatza Halacha Kishita Zu, as if a Baskol came out and said that we paskin like Rashi. The Mvanula Akiv, if we're going to change the whole psak, lo levad shelo yitzaisu, not only are people not going to listen to us, alanirka mishtagim, they're going to think that we're crazy. Shadar resent is pasha b'chol yisol b'poskim, da'inna e'yman arishas harabim, rak ba'arim sfuros ha'gadolos ba'olam. Because it's commonly assumed, everyone always assumed that we don't have Rishus HaRabim with the exception of some major cities. Avalo ba'arim shalanu. V'yanki mitzvah v'chov v'lalami tzchus ha'klai yisrael v'chim tam tishlibi l'hamzi eza hetek v'mashe nevar. And then the Aruch HaShulchan goes on to explain his mahalach that we discussed last time about how you only really have Rishus HaRabim if you have a single road that everyone has access to. But Bila doesn't make, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you take all the rights to the Mishkanos Yaakov however you want, but bottom line, the minhag developed for centuries relying on the opinion that you don't need Shishim Ribo. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah here in the Be'er Halacha, so the Mishnah Berurah counts the votes. So he counts, if I count it correctly, he counts 12 Rishonim that are Mekel, and he quotes 12 Rishonim that are Machmir. And then he quotes an additional sheet of the Gaonim in the Ritva, so maybe that's 13 to 12. And the Mishnah Berurah thinks that it is appropriate, even though clearly the minhag was otherwise, but it is appropriate for a Baal Nefesh, or at least a Baal Nefesh has the right to be Machmir. We call Baal Nefesh Yachmir La'atzma. But this was the machlokas between the Mishnah of Yaakov and the Beis Arfayim, Mishnah of Yaakov and Siman Kuf Kaf and An, and maybe I'll point out some highlights of those tshuvas for next time. And his Bar Pluksa was the Beis Arfayim. Beis Arfayim was Arfayim Zaman Margolis of Brud. Rishak Lewis points out was not the Rav of Brud, he was a Balabas, but a very prolific one. And Rishak Lewis points out that the Rav of Brud at the time was the Mechaber of the Lev Aryeh Yanchulin, and somehow the Svarim the Beis Arfayim became more popular than the local Rav. I'm sorry? Brud. So they also try to stack up the Rishonim in either direction. If you look in Rav Avadya's tshuva, so the Mishnah Berurah has basically a tie, 12-12, maybe 13-12. Rav Avadya in the tshuva we just mentioned, Chelek Tes, Simin Lama Gimel, Rav Avadya, if I count correctly, maybe off by one or two, but if I count correctly, he has 29 Rishonim and Gaonim who are of the opinion that you require... that a Rishis HaRabim must have Shishim Ribo. So if Shishim Ribo, you don't have Rishis HaRabim. That's somewhere in the ballpark of 29 Shitas Rishonim and Gaonim, many of which haven't been printed yet or published yet in previous generations. The Mechaber of Erev Online Blogspot has a list of 34 Gaonim and Rishonim. I didn't compare his list to Rav Avadya's list to see what the overlap or lack of it is.
Rav Avadya's 29
versus what? Versus a handful. He doesn't... There's whoever the Mishnah Berurah quoted in that camp, let's say the 12, and Rav Avadya says, but on the other camp, we have many more. Rav Avadya's point is to try to demonstrate that that the Ikur Deya, and maybe it's even the Das HaMechaber, which he discusses, but the Ikur Deya is that you... requires Shishim Ribo for Shishas HaRabim. Or at least there's a significant traction in that direction. Okay, so I'm not interested in reading the lines in all 34 Rishonim, but that you can take a look on your own. Okay. Now, Assuming that there is a requirement for Shishim Ribo, if you don't need Shishim Ribo, you have Rishas HaRabim, even if you only have 100 people in town, so then we still have our other factors that you need for Rishas HaRabim that could impact whether our cities are Rishas HaRabim, the requirement for the Mefulash, the requirement of Tesayin Amma, the requirement of Eina Makura. But assuming that we're going to go with the Shita, at least for our analysis purposes, go with the Shita that you require Shishim Ribo, so we have to figure out how to define Shishim Ribo. Shishim Ribo may not be all that it appears to be at face value, both Lekula and Lechomer, potentially. So the first issue, which we'll address now, and then we'll pick up next time, is who is counted as far as the Shishim Ribo? So this is a question raised by Tosfos, Ervin Dav Vav Min Aleph. Dibur Maskul Ketan Ma'arvin Derech Rishis HaRab. So the Ramban asks this question on Daphne Tes. This is one of the Ramban's rayas against Rashi. But Tosis writes, Vod Hiksha Dibidigle Midbar Hayu Tafin Hashim Le'em Nispar. So where do you get Shishim Ribo from? Shishim Ribo Dumi Dibidigle Midbar. So how many people are in the Midbar? Shishim Ribo were the men between 20 and 60. But there are children, there are women. So if the model is Digle Midbar, so Mechatesi, that it should be 600,000. There are far more than 600,000 people in the Midbar. So Tosis writes, Vishlomar, and what about the Erevav? Tosis writes, Vishlomar, Dulo Garmino Mi Mishkan, the Raman has a Kashan, the Raman leaves that as a Kashan Rashi. Tosis writes, Vishlomar, Dulo Garmino Mi Mishkan, Ella Milsa Dexiva Mid Misfara. So all you have the ability to learn out is that which is Beferish. So we know that Shishim Ribo is Beferish. What the other numbers are somewhat speculative, or at least not Mefurish Bekra. So we're only able to learn out Midigle Midbar, that which is Mefurish Bekra. If you look at the Tosfos HaRosh, if you want to pull up the Lashon, I don't have it in front of me, but I think I'll represent it accurately. You'll tell me if I'm missing something. Tosfos HaRosh seems to assume, at least as an inami, that no, you actually need more than Shishim Riba. You need the numbers of Taf Vinashim that would normally be found among 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. So if we assume that in the Midbar, Sacha Kol, there were 3 million people, let's say. So according to the Rosh, you need to have, not Shishim Riba, but 3 million people to create a Rishus HaRabim.
Jumping the gun a little bit, but
yeah.
Are we going to talk about what's the
kind of, like, what kind of... Yes, we will. Okay. Ramosha writes in Simen Kuflamites Anavav, Simen Kuflamites Anavav, that even if, essentially, even if you could assume a number of women and children, because we do have some Misora, that there were 3 million in the Midbar, perhaps. He doesn't spell it out there. But his point is that it would be more difficult to calculate the numbers of the Erevav. So maybe you could argue that you would count the Taf Anashim that correspond to Shishim Riba Anashim between 20 and 60, but in Erevav, we don't have any explicit proof as to how many Erevav there were. He quotes 3 days in Medrash, whether it was 120,000, 240,000, or 360,000, but there's no clear numbers as to how many Erevav there were, so that would make it almost impossible to figure out that calculation. The Eishel of Rambuchach, in the very end of Simen Shin Memhei, raises the question as to whether you count non-Jews in the count of Shishim Riba. He assumes, ultimately, as a Davar Pashut, that you do count Nachrim, and there's no evidence to say otherwise. Ramosha assumes that it's Davar Pashut as well, that when you count Shishim Riba, you're not counting Jews, you're counting Nachrim as well. Okay. So, Mirz Hashem, next time we will discuss how do you calculate Shishim Riba as far as where must they be found, over what space of time. And then we'll talk about Ramosha's Chidushim in calculating and defining Shishim Riba. After we finish Shishim Riba, I can't promise we'll finish next time, but Bli Nedar, at least by the end of the next week, we'll then move to discuss Rishus HaYachid, which is the beginning of Simen Shin Mem Hei. We'll talk briefly about Carmelis after that, then we're going to talk about Karpev, and then the Sugis of Asur Rabim. So I will, Bli Nedar, send out more Marmakamos as we go forward, and we're going to try to get moving now and cover more ground laterally.